Yo, what is up? It's Monday, baby, and that means another journal entry on the Founders Journal.
Heck yeah. All right, Colin, two questions for you. First off, what is the Founders Journal? Second off, what the heck were you doing when you were 17 years old?
Man, hit me with some hard questions. The answer to your first question is the Founders Journal is a place where young business people come to learn about business from their peers. Second question, at 17, I was like one track mind. All I was doing was playing sports and not doing school, probably. I don't know. I was probably ditching class or something. I don't know. Not being responsible, I can tell you that much.
Yeah. Well, this kid today that we're going to hear from, he knows what's up. He's 17 years old, has his own successful photography business, has a huge following on Instagram, and just takes killer photos. So get stoked to hear about his story.
Yep. Here we go. All right. So our guest today, he works in more than one subcategory of photography, which includes lifestyle, landscape, wildlife, and portraits. He kind of specializes in the outdoor world. He's been featured 3 times on Wildfowl magazine. He also was featured in Tanglefree's The California Kid video. He has been contracted out for Sitka Gear and Tanglefree, does all kinds of different hustling and private contract work, has 25,000 followers on Instagram. Mr. Brandon Fien, the California Kid, what's up, man? Can't wait to hear your story. The floor is yours.
How's it going, Colin? Yeah. Yep, so my name is Brandon. I'm a freelance photographer. I kind of hustle my own business as a 17-year-old. The way that I got started in this is 4 years ago, I found a camera in my mom's closet, and this was after I sustained an arm injury, which kind of stopped my baseball career, my sports career. And ever since then, I've just kind of been taking pictures, and I enjoyed it. And then somewhere along the lines, I kind of found out that I can make this a business. And then I started hustling my own work, finding clients. And ever since then, I just kind of fell in love with it.
That's sweet. So Brandon, I know we've talked on and off over the past couple of weeks. And one thing that I want to ask you about, and probably a lot of people want to know, is how did you figure out the editing and what camera to use, and how did you save up for that? Some of those type of things.
Basically, I made YouTube my best friend, and any question that I had, I typed into YouTube and it gave me an answer right away. So with the camera part, everyone's favorite question is, oh, what camera do you use? Or like, what lens do you use? Which camera should I buy? Try to just forget about all that. That's what I did. I just forgot about all that, and I made do with what I had because my budget was so small. I was 13 years old, and so I was working with like a $200 camera and a little kit lens, and I just tried to make it work. And the best thing that you can do is learn manual mode. Learn your camera. It's like a pair of shoes. You don't upgrade your camera until you're done with it. Don't try to expand until you're absolutely just finished with it. Basically, all I did is I learned how to shoot manual mode, and then I learned how to use Lightroom and Photoshop as far as YouTube goes. I just looked up videos. How does hue and saturation work? How does curves work? How does exposure, shadows, this and that? And I did that for 2 years, and then I finally upgraded my own camera, did some more research on what kind of lenses should I use for portrait work and landscape, got a little 50mm lens, and I've just kind of been rolling with that ever since.
It's kind of interesting because like a lot of people, I feel like probably overcomplicate it a lot, and especially when there's so many different categories of photography. You know, you have like wedding photography and different types of lifestyle photography, and then you're talking about wildlife and capturing something that could be, you know, 50 yards away. So I feel like sometimes people overcomplicate it when really, if you just dumb it down and get going, I mean, I think there's something to be said for that. And I think probably a lot of people in a lot of different types of businesses definitely do that when they could just keep it simple and, you know, keep it going. But I think that's an extremely important point that you hit on is don't grow too fast. You know, make sure you fill the shoes that you got first before you keep working. And one of the things I guess I want to ask you about is specifically, you know, we've talked over the time about mentorship and who kind of has helped you grow in terms of photography and who you've learned some from. So if you could kind of just tell the story on that and the importance of having a mentor. I know that's something you've hit on before, so I think I would love to hear it.
Yeah, so never take social media for granted. It can, as as bad as it can be sometimes, there's some extreme positives and there's some great people you can meet through this. And what's great about it is that you, through social media, you find people with common interests, and in those common interests, you'll find better people with things that you don't know, and you can learn off each other. And one of the ways that I found the, actually the only way I found my mentor is he actually reached out to me. His name is Jake Latondras, and he's a world renowned videographer, landscape photographer. He's just, he travels to countries I don't even know how to pronounce, and he does amazing cinematic work, and he's very wise, and I think that any word that he says, you should really just take it to heart, and when he speaks, you should listen, and when he speaks in a room, all the heads turn to him, because what he says is very important, and he's learned so much over the 15 plus years that he's been doing this in the outdoor industry. Basically, going back to how I met him is he reached out to me on Instagram one day because he saw my images that I was posting on my portfolio. He reached out and said, you know, man, like, you have some great work. We should work together. And then throughout our conversation, he found out that I was only 13 years old at the time. And I guess it caught him off guard. So he took a step back and realized what was going on. And he kind of made a bold move to fly out to California to meet me. And then throughout that, he teamed up with Tango Free. He made a video on me, and it was just great. And I think that one of the best experiences I've ever had in my life actually was just meeting him and talking to him. And, you know, like, it, being a photographer, especially in the outdoor industry, there's not a lot of people around your town or anything with the same common interest. I mean, I still go to high school, and there's not a single other photographer that I can like talk to or like, you know, discuss with camera gear. But with him, I don't, you know, he's almost like a father figure in the outdoor industry to me. And, you know, it's just great. And in, especially in business work, having a mentor that you can talk to is extremely important. So if I had any advice to any young entrepreneurs that are trying to make a business, not even if it's photography, if it's anything, if you can find a mentor, find somebody with common interests that you can talk to almost on a regular basis, then you're going to find success a lot quicker.
Yeah. So I know you really focus on wildlife and outdoor photography. So how did you switch from like just shooting for fun and like learning and building your portfolio to like shooting for money and like getting paid for it? Would you say that your mentor like helped you like grow in this and like get those jobs?
Definitely. And before I go like too far into detail in that, I think that it's very important, if you're starting a business, don't do it to make money. Do it because you like it. Because if you're starting a business like to get rich, you're never going to get rich. If you start off for the wrong reasons, if you're trying to get like Instagram followers, subscribers on YouTube, it's just not going to happen. Like any successful person that you've ever met did not start with an end goal to become rich. It was simply because they love it. And I spoke with my mentor about this. This is something that it's a craft, and it's something you need to work on, and it's something that you need to continue to get better at for yourself. But along the lines is making money. I think that once you hit a point into where you become confident in your work, then that's a point where you can begin to make money and begin advertising yourself. And the way that I started doing that is when I built my portfolio enough, and when my mentor noticed that my portfolio was becoming diverse, he told me that if I shoot for different aspects of my business, you can begin to make money. And if you advertise the right way, then you can, you know, find some revenue. And it's, even as a, when I think I was 15 at the time, I think I sold my first print. This is what Jake said: the easiest way for you to make money right now in the wildlife industry is by selling prints, because nobody's going to hire you to come on a shoot to take pictures of birds. Like, it's just not going to happen. They're going to buy prints, or you're going to find a magazine company that wants a cover of a magazine. But then he told me that you should begin to come outside of the outdoor industry, because if you actually look at the outdoor industry, it's a very small outlet. There's not a lot of opportunity, because it's just not as popular as other things. And so all the spots are already filled. And if you begin to do, you know, local work for your own sake, you're going to begin to make more cash that way. And that was one of the key points that he told me, and it actually really did help my business.
Gotcha. I mean, I think you saying that as a 17-year-old, basically what we would call, a lot of people would call, a kid. And I think you're very wise beyond your years to say, look, a business, you have to love what you're doing if you want to make it on your own and make it successful. And this is something me and Sid talked about in a previous episode, where we talked about letting your values bleed into your business and it creating your business into who you are. And I think that's something interesting in photography, because what you see in your head is your vision, is basically who you are, and you try to transport that into your photos, correct? Like you want the feeling and the art of photography to go into your photos. So one thing that I want to ask you, in what's different about the different subcategories of photography, is how do they differ? And I guess how does, you know, the work, what we've talked about with contract work and the rest of that and making money, how do they differ? How does what you take photos of, the way you take photos of wildlife and landscape versus portraits, how do they differ, and how does it differ in terms of money as well?
While they all do differ, photography is very same. It's actually, a lot of it is under the same umbrella, but as the different outlets of making money through those industries are very different, because I just recently got into weddings, and that's different because you are investing almost an entire day of shooting, and you're gonna get a large paycheck at the end, versus contract work, which I do with Tango Free, is you sign a contract at the beginning, but you continue to make money over the year, because when they use your images, you get paid for each image that you use throughout the year. And then when you're doing wildlife photography, that's a much harder outlet to make money, because you have to go out for days on end to hopefully get one picture, but that one picture, you can sell a print 10 times and you can make $2,000, $3,000 with that one print. So a lot of it is very different, but it's very same as far as the time that you're investing and your end goal.
Yeah. So I guess that, you know, that's something to be looked at, because you've said before, is in weddings, you know, the wedding is always kind of going to happen. Whereas, like, I mean, how do you get feeling and making someone, when they look at your photo, how do you get them to feel a certain way? And how did you learn how to do that? That's kind of helped your business.
And the way that I did that is I completely, totally invested myself in my subject, even if it's a person. Like, I learn everything that I can about them, and it's easier with my friends because I already know what's about them. But like, if you have a subject, a human subject, the way that you can evoke emotion is you surround themselves in a scenario that fits their personality, and that was really successful or very popular among my friend group, because I have a firefighter friend, and I took him out to a fire, and we put giant flames around him, and he was in his firefighter suit, and he was just posing, but the images evoked so much emotion through his parents. It was because it fit his personality. And then in the outdoor industry, is I have always been a hunter, right? I've always, you know, just kind of been out there. I've just invested myself completely in the outdoors, and I found scenarios or situations that evoked my own emotion, like a sunrise or a macro shot of a feather. And that's something that a lot of people share in common with me, because there's a lot of other hunters out there that kind of see the same thing, but they don't know how, they've never seen it in a picture. And if I can show that in a picture, if I can bring something out that nobody's ever seen in a picture or a video, then that's what evokes emotion. And I learned that at a very young time when I began to take pictures, is I was taking pictures that I've never really seen on Instagram or I've never really seen before. So it made sense that they got popular, because nobody else has ever seen them either.
Yeah, that's really bold, honestly, because people like to like recreate things that they've seen. So it's definitely an interesting perspective to, like, you know, like you were saying, get to know your subject and just figure out everything about them to evoke the emotion, which I feel like a lot of people nowadays, they don't take pictures for the emotions, but they do it just, you know, to take pictures or, you know, take pictures of whatever they're doing.
Yeah, but that's also something that, what was interesting, it linked Macy and Brandon. They both are in the photo industry. Macy's really into weddings and whatnot, and that was one of the things that she mentioned, was how much time she spent with her couples. So sorry to interrupt you, Sid, but that was something that I just had to link. I mean, I think that's interesting that no matter what type of pictures you're taking, spending time and getting to know your subject is probably what seems like very important.
Yeah, it definitely, because when you spend time with your subject and when you spend time learning about it, you actually get an emotional connection to that. So when you bring it in and you actually snap a photo or you capture a moment in time, and when you edit that photo, it probably means more to you than it means to the other person, because you've invested so much time into it. And it's just, every photo that I've ever taken means something to me, and that's why I'm proud of my works. A lot of the time is because it means something to me. It every photo that I share has some emotional connection to me, and it's a representation of myself. And that's why I invest so much personal time, so much personal effort into my craft, because it's important to me. And I think that's what has got me success throughout the years. Because I know a lot of people that they kind of half-ass it, and like, especially with businesses, I mean, you see the successful businesses and you see the unsuccessful businesses, and the successful businesses are usually the ones that have invested so much time into it, and the ones that, you know, they work on it, they make it professional, they keep it organized. And yeah, I actually do find a lot of inspiration from like small businesses around town and even big businesses that started off small. And I kind of link that to my own work sometimes too.
So you talk about success. You just talked about that. So you grew your skills super fast and your business super fast. And how old were you when you started your business?
I was 15.
Crazy. Okay. So what would you recommend to someone that's like 15 or, you know, like in high school? Cause like, that's kind of like a vulnerable time to start a business. So how would you tell someone to like get started, or like even in photography, like what do you wish you knew starting off that would have helped you grow even faster?
When I was 15, I thought, like when I first started, I was like, oh man, I'm starting to make money. Like, this is great. But I really, in reality, I wasn't really making any money at all. So I think if I had any advice, I would, speaking to my young self when I was 16, I would get a job and then, you know, work that job while I was also, you know, trying to maintain a business, because the reality is you're going to have to do that in the real world. If you do, whenever you get out of high school, you're going to have a real job. And then if you want to keep your business alive, you're going to have to do that too, because you're probably not going to have a successful business to sustain your livelihood or like sustain yourself, just with your own, you know, new business. And with that said, if I was to talk back to my 16-year-old self, I would say, get a job, half-ass that job, get money, and then make investments on your own behalf to, you know, become successful as yourself. And when I actually started doing that at 17, cause I didn't even get a real job until I was like 16 and a half. I got a job for myself, and then I started investing in editing programs, and those editing programs really helped my work, because it brought probably my pictures from eights to nines in boring pictures became good pictures. It was just like, it was incredible the difference that post-production had on my work. And that goes for any business. If you're a cake shop and you're baking, right? If you have another job, you're making money on that other job, you can use that money and then make investments on your cake industry to, you know, get a new oven, get a new furnace, get a new this and that, and then you're gonna end up being better off in the long run.
Yeah, that's something that
classic side hustle.
Yeah, love the side hustles. That's something that, you know, we've talked about with other people in the past too, that have actually had full-time jobs that are out of college, and they said, you know, don't discount what you can learn from there and the money that you can use to get your own business going. So, you know, no matter where you're at in terms of if you're in high school, if you're in college, if you're out of college, if you're an adult, I mean, use everything to your advantage, so to speak. And it sounds like that's something that you do, is invest in yourself, invest in the time you spend, and really just go after it. And that's seeing what's, you know, kind of helped you blow up early on in terms of being a phenomenal photographer, and then having different outlets to get those pictures to people and have quality equipment, quality cameras, you know, quality editing equipment. So I think, you know, you've done it the right way to this point. But one of the things that I think is interesting that you say in there is, you talk about being young, and we talked about this a little before, but how have you really, I mean, me and you both know that gaining respect in the outdoor industry is extremely hard. When I was guiding people at 18 years old, I had some old guys that would not listen to me for anything. And they were the ones that hired me. And I couldn't figure out why they wouldn't listen to me. And when I got home, my dad said, you realize, you know, you're only 18 years old. And do you know what you're doing? Yes. However, you know, older people, the whole respect your elders and whatnot can sometimes come into consideration. And I think that's interesting because you are really young. So how have you kind of, have you had experience with someone saying, all right, you're only, Brandon, you're only 17, you're only 15. Like, do you really know what you're talking about? And how have you kind of navigated that to know what you're worth and how skilled you really are?
Yeah, no, for sure. I that is a huge part of this thing because, you know, we're all young entrepreneurs and we're the boss of our own business. And people don't like when a younger person bosses them around. And it, like, even still, it doesn't make any sense to me when somebody hires me on a job and somebody has seen my images, somebody wants my work, will still find a way to try to take advantage of my age. And they'll still be like, oh, well, I don't know why you're charging this much because you're only 17. Like, you're not going to go anywhere with this. I mean, it still doesn't make any sense to me, but I think that the best thing that anybody can do, especially as a young person, is just continue to grind it out and then just kind of just forget about the haters. Like, who cares about them? Like, honestly, I mean, you're really just, you're doing this for yourself. You're doing this for a business. You're doing this to make money. And if somebody doesn't have the respect or the time, so if somebody doesn't have the respect for you, then you shouldn't give them the time of day. It honestly isn't even worth it. Even if they are a paying customer, like, even if they are offering money, if they're not offering if they're not living up to your expectations, then they're not worth the time of day. If they're trying to, you know, if they're trying to lowball you just because of your age, it's not worth it. And that's all I can say about that. And my mentor has taught me that a lot too. He was like, as important as it is to make money, it's more important to work with good people and surround yourself with better people to improve yourself. Because if you continue to surround yourself with negative people, then you're actually going to become a negative person and your business will fall because of it.
Dang, your mentor knows what's up.
Yeah, my mentor is a legit.
Yeah.
Maybe we need to bring Jake Latondras on this baby.
So talking about, like, the value of your work and, like, you know, with the people you're working with, I think that's a really important piece to hit on, because for creative work, people, like, seem to always, like, kind of step on other people's, like, work when they're with them, especially when you're younger. So how have you, like, showed that, like, your work is of value, and, like, how have you gone about that, like, with clients?
Honestly, just especially with creative work, everyone copies everyone, and that's a huge thing, especially with social media. It's like you just see the same thing over and over and over, and the only really way you can be successful or be popular is you have to be original. You have to find original content. And that's the part of being creative, is when you're being creative, you're thinking outside the box. You're thinking of things that haven't been done before. And, you know, the longer that time goes on, the less and less, or the more and more things that is impossible to think of, because everything's already been done. It seems like sometimes, like, when, if you had fallen a creative slump, like, you think that there's nothing that you can do because everything's already been done. Oh, I can't do this because somebody's already shot that. Oh, I can't make this because somebody's already made that. But that's the fun part, honestly, is, like, if you are an art, because this is an art. I mean, being a creative person is an art, even if you're a photographer, even if you're a musician. I mean, it's all artists here. And then just being original, finding your own worth, finding your own style, finding your own talent, finding anything is just, it's really important to be successful, is you have to be original.
Yeah, I completely agree. Some being original, and this is something that me and Siv talked about, like, even with our podcast, is trying to make a different spin on whatever industry there is. And even though that you looked at something like an outdoor industry that is very, very saturated with photographers, and me and you both know that, you've found a way to make it different and be original. And I think that's something that's very inspiring and still can be done. I mean, other people can still do this as well, correct?
Yeah, for sure. There'll still be some days where there's like some no name photographer that I've never seen in my life, or actually a lot of people I've never seen. They have like maybe 100 followers and they have some killer image. They have some killer video that has never been seen. I'm like, how does this not go viral? Because it's like, this is totally original. But I mean, with the, unfortunately, with the algorithms of social media, it makes the big, it makes the more popular people get more popular. It's basically a rich get richer situation where, I mean, if you're little, it's so hard now to get up in the industry or get up and getting popular, because the algorithms will just kill you, even if you have original content. And that's why, that's why there's so many copycats in this world. Especially, I mean, I make fun of the app TikTok because, I mean, it's TikTok. It sounds dumb, but it's actually...
Sydney loves TikTok.
But it's actually very good if you have a business, because their algorithms are very... Like, their algorithms are great because, I mean, I have a video that... it's a stupid video, but it's original. I've never seen anybody do it. And it's still... Like, it's still cresting 60,000 views right now on TikTok. And that's great because compared to Instagram, you basically post something one day and it might get popular for that one day, but after that 24-hour mark, it's completely killed. Instagram will just kill it because more work needs to be shown. And I mean, TikTok is totally flooded with like girls who do the same dances over and over, and you'll find that those dances, the people that are copying each other, like, they're just not that popular anymore. And what you're going to start seeing, especially in the coming months, is the more creative people, the more funny people, the more artists, the more singers, whatever, they're going to start seeing on TikTok. It's going to be more of a flooded and saturated place with good work, because of their algorithms. And if you start taking advantage of that as far as a business person goes, then you're gonna be a lot better off in the end.
Yeah, I think TikTok is a hidden gem of business. I've told Colin, I'm like, Colin, dude, like, yeah. TikTok, they know what's up. Like, this one girl, I've said it a few times in the podcast, but basically her sister posted TikTok of her business, and she grew from, like, you know, maybe 100 orders a day to like over 1,000 a day, which is like huge. So, I mean, I think there's something to be said about that.
There was a videographer that I was following on Instagram, and I think he had like maybe 500 followers, and he wasn't in the outdoor industry. He was doing like street photography and like all this kind of cinematic work, and he has been doing that for a year. I've been following him for a year, and he went on TikTok maybe 4 months ago, and he already has 3 million followers on TikTok. And now he's like some famous guy, and he's already like going on some trip to like Boston or something to do some shoot with Peter McKinnon, dude. It's incredible. It's like, I literally watched him grow from 1,000 followers on Instagram to over 1 million on TikTok. So if you take advantage of that as a business standpoint, then I mean, it might be a secret. I might just ruin it for myself, but I think it's something that needs to be said, because I mean, a lot of people make fun of it, and don't get me wrong, like it's totally flooded with like girls who do the same dance over and over, and like it's getting
that's
old.
That's where I can't wrap my head around it. I don't even have one, but I watch my brother watching them, and I'm like, dude, come on, like you are wasting so much time,
dude.
But I'm
not gonna lie.
On the flip side, it sounds like
I know. I honestly, Colin, if I were you, I would give it a shot. Like, cause right.
I'm just getting roasted today. Sid was roasting me earlier, and now Brandon's on here like, dude, watch TikTok,
dude. Oh, my goodness. Honestly, have you ever heard of Dive Bomb Industries?
Oh yeah,
dude, they're on TikTok and they're blowing up right now. I mean, every one of their videos is getting at least like 50,000 views or more.
No, Cody Stokes and all those boys. Sounds like they got it going on.
Dude, I'm telling you, man, like, you got to try it.
All right, I'll give it a try.
From,
Brandon,
like,
I want
the guy that's, like, from the perfect market, a 17-year-old, and we're, like, even though we're 3 years older, like, there's just no 20-year-olds, like, on the app. Yeah. Like, they're really...
Oh, no, it's all, like, 15... Dude, it's... I mean, it's, like, so bad. It's, like, 15, 16, 17-year-old girls.
Yeah, I was watching... I had a neighbor kid who started this trend about... Yeah, I somehow went on his Instagram, and all of a sudden he had like 15,000 Instagram followers, and he would like, I'm like, ask my brother, he's my brother's age, which is your age, is senior in high school. And I was like, dude, how did he just go from like nobody to 15,000 followers? Yeah. He's like, he started a trend on TikTok, and he showed me like his trend. He took a picture of them as like kids, him and his siblings, and then reenacted the photo. And it was like, I'm just a kid.
Yeah.
Like song to it. Yeah. And I was like, he started this trend, and now he's got like 1 million, like whatever. I, that stuff to me is not, you know, I can't watch it. Like, I just, it's hard for me to watch. But in a business sense, what you said makes an extreme amount of sense and can really, maybe we'll even see with Instagram and Facebook a change in algorithms because of what TikTok's doing.
Yeah, hopefully we do, because as far as like Instagram and Facebook goes, I was actually just talking to Jake about this. Mark Zuckerberg totally ruined the algorithms. Like, I mean, I remember one day, it was my Instagram definitely grew, my business grew way more when before one of the Instagram updates, because I have like that little business profile where you can view your insights. And usually my post would get like, it's called impressions, which means how many times your post has been seen. And usually every time I posted something, it was getting like 14,000 or 15,000 impressions. And I would view my insights, and all of a sudden I got this update, and then it was down to like 4,000 impressions, 5,000 impressions. And it's still like, I'm still struggling ever since that update. And then I watch all these big photographers that I know. Every time I show up on my feed, they're always the first two posts. Every time. Like, no matter what. Even if it's like a post that's like a week old, they're still up on the front. And that was because Instagram totally killed their algorithms, and they wanted, I don't know what the point of it was. Like, it totally ruined their business. But who knows, maybe there's some like hidden agenda behind it. But anyways, like all these big photographers, like all these verified people are getting way more clout in a sense than anybody else. And that's why I like TikTok. And that's why I like TikTok, is because the only reason I like TikTok is because their algorithms actually give you a chance. Like you have just as big of a chance as going viral as anybody else.
Yeah, that's the beautiful thing about this podcast, is I totally just learned something new today that Sid's been like ragging on me for, like, dude, get on TikTok, and I'm like, but now I get it. I mean, the algorithms, if someone would have said that to me, Sid, if you would have said that to me like a while ago, I mean, now you can say, go ahead, say it. I told you so. Go ahead.
I told you so.
Yeah, you got me.
Well, if Sid told you like, oh, go on TikTok and make this dance, like, I can't promise that you're going to get anywhere with that. But
if Colin was on TikTok dancing, I'm sure it would blow up.
Yeah. Anyways, so back to kind of photography and how you've been able to display your work. One thing I want to ask you about, since you're in different subcategories and that we've talked a lot about different platforms that people build websites on, like Wix, WordPress, and they're using those, Shopify, Sid used Etsy for a while, all those different ones, but we haven't had a Smug Mug. And so can you explain to us about Smug Mug and how you've been able to split up your portraits versus your outdoor work, and how you've been able to display those, and how those kind of, I guess, led you into contracting work and the rest of that?
Yeah, so it started off as just a place to build my portfolio. Like, I didn't really do it to sell images. But it was great because I was able to literally put my portrait work in a category, or my dog work in a category, my wildlife in a category, versus where on Instagram it's kind of all just integrated into like one big portfolio. And that's great to show my work too. But like, as far as from a business aspect, if I'm talking to somebody who wants their senior portraits, or I'm talking to somebody who wants a wedding shot, I can just take that link from my website and then send them that. And like, so I just send them the album from my website. And so they just have a whole album full of images that they like, of stuff that they want shot, versus I send them my Instagram and they have to like kind of pick through and search for images that like relate to them. And the only reason I use Smug Mug is because it was easiest for me to use and I just like the style. But throughout that, I found that there was a little avenue that I could actually sell portraits, or I could sell pictures through that. I could actually sell prints, because Smug Mug offers a little deal to where if you pay like some fee every month, then it actually lets you sell through your website, directly through your website. And people can, you know, go on there and they search through it. They find an image that they like and they can buy, you know, phone cases, prints, they can buy coffee mugs. And, it's great. It's great revenue. It's a little steady cash flow. It's just, it's really nice. And my experience with Smug Mug has been all good so far. I mean, they even have an app to where I'm just on my phone and I can, you know, literally just thumb through it and like, oh, I want to go, I need to download, you know, this image and send it to my friend. I can go through there, pick that album, download it to my phone, and then there it is. And it's an easy to use platform.
That's super cool. I'm definitely going to look into Smug Mug after this, because I've never heard of it, honestly, before this. I just was like, oh, I'll go make a website. But so one last question to wrap this up. Where do you see your business going? What are your future plans? I know you mentioned coming to Fort Collins, hang with Colin and I. That'd be fun. We can all make TikToks together.
I'm not making a TikTok with Sydney. No. She'll have me doing some weird dance and then I'm just going to make myself look like a fool.
Probably. Future plans. As far as like, it's hard to say where I'll be in the next 10 years, but, I can say where I'll be in the next year. I'm actually going to move out to Colorado to Fort Collins because my mentor lives out there, Jake. I know I've talked to him I've talked about him frequently in this podcast. But I'm going to move out there. I'm going to work at an outdoor industry place called the Prairie Rock Outfitters. It's an outfitter that I'll be guiding at. And then throughout that, I'm going to help build my social media brand with Jake, and we're going to work as a team rather than just kind of build the Brand and Fiend brand or the Jake Latondras brand. We're going to work as a team. I'm actually going to work for his media team called Latondras Media Collective. And, his end goal is he kind of wants to pass the torch on to me because, you know, he's got a family now at home and he's like, he just can't do the same things that he can do in the past. And he thinks that I'm going to be his little quote unquote apprentice. And I'm going to work with him hopefully for a long time because we get along, we agree on a lot of the same things. That's my plan. I'm going to move out to Colorado, work for Prairie Rock Outfitters, and he's going to send me out on some shoots. And then before I move out to Colorado, I'm actually booked for a trip to Canada with Black Duck Outdoors. And I'm going to do that little Saskatchewan trip and then do a 2-week photo shoot there for their content. And then, it's kind of hard to say where I'll be in the next 10 years, but my future plans are definitely looking up as long as this Corona thing ends before summer.
I think we're all on the same page, hopefully, yeah. Man. I'm hoping for you that you get a senior summer. I mean, I watch my brother and I feel bad for you guys. You know, that's totally sucks. However, I will like to say that you have an extremely bright future. I think you're very wise beyond your years. You know, keep listening to those people that are definitely helping you take advantage of that. And me and Sid, definitely thank you for coming on today and sharing your story about photography, the outdoor industry, and where you plan to go in the future. And I guess TikTok, apparently, that's a big, big point.
Going TikTok famous, boys. Here we go.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, Brandon. Well, thank you. Yeah, thanks so much, dude.
All right, yeah, it was fun having me on. I definitely enjoyed it.
Thank you guys for listening to today's episode. We hope you enjoyed Brandon's episode. I know personally, since I'm out in the outdoor space and the outdoor industry, I really loved getting to hear the outdoor industry's ins and outs from a young phenom.
Yeah, Brandon is just so talented with his photography, especially from such a young age, and I hope you guys enjoyed listening. But if you guys could sauce us a review, that would be so amazing on Spotify.
Throw some sauce on
it, baby. Yeah, throw some sauce up on the reviews. On Spotify, Apple Podcasts, reviews really help us grow and network to meet cooler people. So we'd really appreciate it if you guys could do that for us. It would mean the world. But otherwise, we will see you next Monday.
See you next Monday.